to sing and give glory to God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory.
There is so much going on in the world and so many things that we can give our attention to. And we have to be careful not to give those things glory and give them more honor than we give God.
Yes,
and
yes.
Every Sunday morning I say to myself, these are 2 hours. I say this to God, actually, usually when I'm praying with the praise singers. These are the times that we have set aside,
yes,
just to honor God.
Yes.
And to worship together feels good, but the purpose is that this is holy time.
Yes, it is.
This is holy ground because we've made it holy. Uh-huh. We have consecrated it solely for the purpose of worshiping God.
Amen.
So let's be aware of that. If we're letting our minds wander, we're not really accomplishing the purpose that we came here for.
Yes.
And that is to give honor and glory to God.
Yes.
And you can be seated if you wish.
This morning, it reminds me of this verse, and it's this is how the book starts out. I don't know if anybody's ever read John Bevere's book, The Fear of the Lord, and it just came to my mind, so I looked it up. It says, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. And that's what we're doing here today.
Yes.
I'm not going to enter into that holy place without giving God glory, without praising him up. He is a holy God. I'm not just here just to be here, just to fulfill this time slot, just like Sister Davis said, just to waste my time. I don't want to waste God's time. I want to go through the proper channels. Proper channels went through in the days of the Old Testament before they entered to the Holy of Holies. There's proper channels. I want to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise.
Right.
I want to enter with the right heart and the right mind before I go any further this hour. Even last night, thinking about coming here today, I want my heart and my mind to be in the right place. Lord, I'm not just entering in anywhere. I'm not just going to Walmart. I'm not just going to the VFW. I'm going to your house. I want to regard you as holy. If we as a church body regard unified God as holy and lift him up that way, other people are going to walk in here. They're going to catch on. That's contagious. I didn't get this where I was at in another church, but these people regard God as holy.
Yes.
And I want to demonstrate that. I want that to be contagious to everybody that walks in here. I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. It's a unified body. It's incredible of the seasons of life that we've been through together as a church body and how unified. There's our human nature has kicked in to many people over the last year, and they would say, there's going to be collateral damage. All this is going to happen. There's going to be fallout. You know what? There has been no fallout whatsoever. If anything, the season of life that God has brought this church through has strengthened us more than ever.
Yes, I believe that.
It is amazing. Nobody left this church. Everybody that was here a year ago is here today. I am so thankful for that. I am encouraged and emboldened more than ever. And I'm excited. Where we are now and where we're going. Because we are going somewhere as a church body.
Praise the Lord.
We don't have all the answers. We don't see it all. But we're going to look to the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're going to put one foot in front of the other. And Lord is going to take us to that promised land.
Yes.
We are on a destination to the promised land. And I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. So there's going to be no surprise about the title of the lesson this morning. And it is, God responds to faith. It is my response in faith that causes God to respond. And we're going to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. Our text this morning is in Hebrews chapter 11. It's kind of lengthy, but we'll have you stand in honor of God's word, and we'll have you sit down at the end. It says, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that which are seen were not made by things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God hath translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Our focus verse is 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You can be seated at this time. There was a young man who came from a single parent home that began to do missionary work. Being a young adult, the Lord spoke to him about going to China. At the time, it seemed impossible to go to a nation where the gospel was closed. As he grew in his walk with the Lord, he began to minister in different churches through obedient faith and prayer and fasting. The Lord showed up in powerful ways, and lives were changed. One year at General Conference, the young man prayed that he would come into contact with a missionary from Asia. He wanted confirmation as to whether or not he should go to China. The missionary couple he wanted to meet was leading a powerful church in a disciples training school in their own nation at that time. At General Conference, a friend of the minister suddenly brought the missionary couple over to meet him. The young preacher was shocked and overwhelmed to see this was actually playing out as he had prayed. Not only did he experience the missionaries invited him, the young man, they confirmed his calling and later brought him onto their team, giving him experience with multiple nationalities for years before releasing him into China. Like Abraham, a child of God has to accept the Lord's vision for their life by faith and by letting God work out the details. Our human nature wants us to play things out in our mind to see how God is going to do something, but faith has to be a release of that, of our human nature, and keep our focus and our eyes upon him as he plays out every detail in our lives. That takes total trust and confidence in him, and not in our own ability, and not with what we see and what we hear, anything else. And we are creatures that get distracted by things about what we see and what we hear. I get on the tollway every day, almost every day, there's an accident because somebody's distracted by what they see or what they hear. It's the same way in our spiritual walk with God. We get distracted sometimes by what we see and what we hear. But our focus should always be, what God, what are you saying? I want to hear your voice. If you told me to do something, if you told me to go somewhere and I don't have all the details yet, I need my heart, my mind to be fixated upon him. Lord, what is your next move in my life? Because there are going to be so many things that are going to choke out what we've heard from God for the very first time. We did not hear, we did not get all the details. But God does not want to give us all the details because that would require no faith on our part. And I want to be spirit-led every time I come here, stand behind the pulpit. Let me just move forward in this. The law of attraction is that the universe creates and provides for you that which your thoughts are focused on. The results of positive thoughts are always positive consequences. The same holds true for negative thoughts, always leading to bad outcomes. The one foundation element of God's nature is God is attracted to faith. And I'll be honest with you, I want him to be attracted to me. But the only way that I could be attracted to God and for God to be attracted to me is for me to be obedient in what he has called me and asked me to do. In every situation and in every generation for every season, God will respond to our faith. It's his nature and it's a part of who he is. It was incredible that Abraham heard God speak to him, living in a pagan land where idolatry was very normal at that time. God spoke distinctly to Abraham and he heard his voice. The statues and the images at that time and the culture they lived in were not speaking to people, and it was just a one-way thing with the idolatry in that land. People would worship idols, and the idols would not give any response. But the idea of hearing the voice of a God was without a doubt unmistakable and undeniable to Abraham at that time. But it happened, and it happened with such clarity that he was compelled to obey God. In Genesis 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee." It wasn't random. God just didn't select anybody from the city of Ur to be the one to hear his voice. He chose Abraham by design. God is a deliberate God. God is an intentional. And he was specific with what he was requiring of Abraham at that time. And he was specific also with his promises. He was divinely calling Abraham specifically. And these instructions were calling Abraham right out of his comfort zone. When God calls us to do something, he calls us out of our comfort zone. Our human nature is for us to nest, for us to be a creature of habit, for us to do the same things. There's when God spoke to this church through a tongues and interpretation, I remember months ago, God was saying, "Look, I am doing a new thing." And I'm thankful for a pastor that is led by God, that is hearing the voice of God, that has just come up here and randomly just speak the word of God or what somebody else spoke, or not looking up something in an encyclopedia or looking up somebody else's sermons, but his ear is prone to the voice of God every week, and we get a fresh word from God. And there isn't a moving forward, I believe, in his devotion and his prayer life before he gets behind this pulpit. He wants to hear what God has to say. And that is amazing that when I look back, and I'm still fascinated this day about William Seymour, about the man of God. He was a man of faith who was a part of the Azusa Street Revival. He would put his head between two milk crates, and he would not do anything until he heard a word from the Lord. And he was scoffed at. He was made fun of. But as soon as he got his head away from those milk cartons, everybody's attention was grabbed, because he wasn't moving until he heard what God had to say. And everybody was on the edge of their seat. What is God going to say today through William Seymour? Because they weren't William Seymour's words, because the man was almost illiterate. I believe he was blind in one eye. It was unmistakable what God was speaking to and through him. And it is unmistakable when God speaks to and through us here when we get together. It's unmistakable when we are in our devotion and our prayer life, when God speaks to us. It could be just us pondering a thought. Do you ever have just fixated thoughts on God throughout the day, and you're not verbally saying anything, but God will speak to you? It's because our heart is fixed on him, our mind is fixed on him, and he responds to that. He knows that. Nobody knows that but God. He knows our nature. He knows if we're distracted, and he also knows if our heart and our mind is fixated upon him. And it's such a blessing. It's a benefit to us when our heart and our mind is fixated upon God, because that's when he could speak to us. That's when he can minister to us. And he speaks to our spirit, not always in an audible voice, but in a voice to where it is unmistakable and is undeniable, because God is a deliberate God and he is intentional. He wants to have that relationship with us continually. And it is us by our nature that we get distracted. We all get distracted. Throughout this week, you've encountered things. You've gotten phone calls. You've had delays in what you were doing throughout your week. But it's all about recalibrating our focus upon God. Abraham heard the voice of God for the very first time, and he responded in the first time that he heard a word from the Lord. He got up and he went. How many of us have heard the voice of God and we were like, are you sure? Really? What was that? You looked around? Did I hear... Man, I don't know. If I do step out in faith, people are going to think I am crazy. But God says, go, move over there, pray for that person right now. Go over there and speak a word to that person. I'm not going to give you everything that you need to say to that person, but until you step out in faith, I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to give you the right temperament to even say it. Just step out in faith. Be obedient to what I'm calling you to do. Abraham was told to leave the life that he had lived, his surroundings, his neighborhood, his family, the culture that he lived in, and just go. He didn't know how far to travel, and he didn't know where his destination would be. God just says, get up and go. My boss gives me a job to go to. I get a text message with an address attached to it. And I go through it. If I know where I'm going, I still turn the GPS on, because it'll reroute me if there's a traffic delay, if there's an accident or road construction. Even if Abraham had a GPS at the time, God did not give him an address. He just said, get up and go. Get out of the land. He goes, the people that are in your life right now are a distraction. I need your focus to be upon me. I want to have a relationship with you. And those people that are in your life right now are a distraction to you and a distraction to the relationship that I desire to have with you. When God calls you away from something or somebody or some people, his intention is to take you to a destination you've never been before, and to take you to people that you've never been with. I couldn't imagine where I would be here today 20 years ago. I couldn't imagine I would be standing before you 5 years ago, but it was because of my relationship with God and my obedient faith that I'm even standing here today. Where would we be if we just listened to the voice of God and responded the very first time like Abraham did? I want to be somebody, and I fall short of this. We're all guilty of this. We do not always respond to God the first time he speaks to us. And I have to confess that I'm the first one to stand before you. I've heard him, and I've heard him repeat himself. And I thank God that he did not give up on me after he said something the very first time and just said, I'm done with you. But just like he told Peter, do you love me? That's powerful. After what he did, he just denied that he ever knew him. Do you love me, Peter? And that set in, that sunk in, that hurt, that deeply hurt him, because he knew he just denied him three times. Jesus even prophesied to him. He goes, you're going to die on me three times. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. I want to respond with a yes, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. I want to respond yes the first time. I'm not always going to do it. And one thing about my flaw, my human nature, is I have a hesitancy in my spirit to want to respond, to do what I'm asked to do. I remember playing football in high school. The coach would tell me to do something and to execute a play. Sometimes I'd hesitate in my spirit and I'd miss a tackle or something like that. But it was because of that I missed out on a big play. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. There are certain times and seasons in our life where he desires to do something specifically and deliberately. And my hesitation could be a hindrance, could cause collateral damage. I do not want to hinder the move of God in my life or collectively as a church body. If God desires me to say something or if he desires me to withhold something, I need to have the desire to do that. But that takes a sensitivity. That takes a relationship with God to do that. The example of Abraham teaches us God sometimes requires us to exercise faith and compels us to move when we don't have all the answers. All we have are instructions without clear details. What we lack in particular is we have to supplement with our faith. Faith is an active thing. Faith says, I will respond when I don't know everything, when I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the week or at the end of the month. How many people give their tithes by faith, knowing at the beginning of the month you do not have everything in your bank account to pay all your bills at the end of the month? It's been that way pretty much my whole life. I do not have everything in the bank account, especially being in construction with ebbs and flows. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I look back and he has done it week after week, month after month, year after year. I've never seen the lights turned off in my house. I've never had somebody come and just say, you need to get everything, you need to go. God is faithful. We are faithful to him. He will be faithful to us. And there is, because of that, and because of his promise, he has promises attached to our obedient faith. He had promises attached to Abraham's obedient faith. We are no exception. He is no respecter of persons. He wants to reward us. He desires to do so much more for us. I want to be obedient in my walk with God every day, and I confess I fall short of it a lot. But I'm so thankful for his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness. That compels me. That gives me a desire to want to be faithful to him. When I see pillars of faith and examples of faith in this place where you have been through some of the darkest trials of your life, but you're still standing here today, there is a ton of faith in this place. There are examples of faith that we're able to hold each other up like pillars, stronger than ever. And we are living testimonies and living examples where you are here today in spite of every trial and every test and everything that the enemy has brought your way. And I'm not going to give credit to the enemy and everything. God has allowed these things to happen to give him glory. I only want to give credit where credit is due. I give God glory for every test and trial that he brought me through. I am encouraged by every test and trial that you've been through. And as a church body, we encourage each other. Because my season isn't always your season. And I want to be encouraged. I want to encourage somebody. And there's times when I don't have the strength to encourage somebody and I need to be encouraged. And that's what the beauty of the body of Christ is all about. He was told to leave his family behind. He was calling Abraham to step out of his comfort zone. The journey Abraham would take would be the one no one else would be calling except for Abraham himself. Sometimes he requires us to leave things behind when following him. I need to remove some distractions from your life. I'm not doing this to try to hurt you. I'm trying to do this to help you. It may seem painful and hurt at the time, but what God has in our destination where he's trying to take us to, when he says, put these behind you, I need to be alone with you. And it may be painful. It's out of our comfort zone, but it is so much better for us in the end game, on the other side of this test or trial, when people that were once in your life are no longer in your life, he does that to bless us At the time, it may seem like it's to hurt us, but that's where God has a perspective that we don't have. And we need to trust him. And we all struggle with this. Every one of us struggle with this. Because we want to see things from these eyes, from our human perspective and our nature. Abraham, in his human nature, how am I going to have a child with a 90-year-old wife when I'm 100 years old? It's impossible. It can't be done. God says, don't look at what's impossible for man. Look at what's possible for God. Because I have a promise for you. I have a plan for your life. Every one of us has a divine plan and a divine purpose God has for every one of us. God is intentional and he is a deliberate for every one of us. For us collectively as a church body, but for us individually, he is deliberate and he is intentional. He is specific. God could speak to somebody about one thing and 5 minutes later, God could get specific and pull out an arrow and shoot something right to your heart and say, I needed that. I didn't get anything out of this service today, but that one thing was worth the trip for. I've done this. I've gone to men's conferences over the years, and I would watch a video. I remember watching John Bevere. I told Brother Davis this years ago. It was a call to anguish. I didn't understand at the time why I would be in my house, and I would just feel something overwhelming come on top of me, and I'd go in my bedroom and put my face on my pillow, and I just began to weep. And then, like, for about 5 or 10 minutes later, I would walk away and go back to going throughout my day. That's a call. God was calling me to anguish. God was calling me to intercessory prayer before I even knew it at the time. God is calling us to specific things. And what your calling is not the same as my calling. And my calling isn't the same as your calling. But that's part of the beauty of the body of Christ, is he put us all together for us to work together in unity. There are so many personalities here. There are so many generations here. We come from all these different backgrounds. But God is deliberate and intentional of who he placed in this church for such a time as this. I'm excited. Every time I start thinking about how God has orchestrated this and what he's doing, it's part of a plan, Brother Kellum. He has got a plan, and I believe he's about ready to jump out of his skin at times. When we feel like we're just going through our routine, we're just going through things week to week, and we don't have all the answers. And he's like, you have no idea how close you are to the destination I have prepared for you. All we see is a wall. He's just saying, turn left, go straight, skip two blocks and turn right. There's a detour here. I would only know that, and I would not know that unless I heard the voice of God specifically. Otherwise, I'm going to miss out on something. There's going to be a delay. I don't want to miss out on anything. I don't want there to be any delay on God's purpose and his plan for what he has for us collectively and what he has for my life. We are just here for a moment. It is just a vapor and we're gone. We're here for a short time and then we're here no more. I want to see it happen. He placed us all here for us to see it happen, and none of us can see it. All we do is get a glimpse of it at times. God wants to, he's so excited. I could feel it. I could sense it. Otherwise, I would not be sharing it with you. He bubbles with excitement what he has in store for us. It's amazing that God called Abraham to do something like this, but it's even more amazing that he responded the first time he heard God speak. So in Genesis 12, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He didn't hesitate, and he offered no debate or excuse. He just simply loaded up his household and he left. That is incredible faith. That's why his name is mentioned in Hebrews. I want God to brag on me the way he bragged on Abraham. And I believe he is smiling upon people here today because you've endured things. You went through things and you stayed faithful. And God is bragging on you because you're a light that is shining. And it cannot be hidden. It will not be hidden. And other people have noticed it. And other people are looking. And you just haven't seen the evidence of it yet. You haven't seen the coming of the harvest yet. But it is your faithfulness that is going to say, you were here in the beginning. And when I left and it came back, you were still here. There are pillars of faith right here today that they're going to come in and say, you were here the whole time. And they're going to be more devoted than ever. We need to forgive them. We need to love them and not think about where they what they did between the time that they were here and left and when they come back. That does not matter. We need to just put that behind our thoughts and encourage them to say, that's behind you now. You're here now. And it's the rest of your life that matters. He didn't know where he was going when he left. He just obeyed. We don't always know where we're going. We just need to be obedient. One foot in front of the other. In every season, in every trial, in every storm, one foot in front of the other. It's raining out today. I don't have an umbrella. One foot in front of the other. It's cold and it's blowing. I cannot see. The visibility is 1/8 of a mile. I cannot see my destination. One foot in front of the other. Just continue to hear the voice of God in your life. It's a strange country that he said that he lived in. It's a strange country that God placed him in. But by faith, he also sojourned in the land of promise. He stepped out in faith, but that also, stepping out in faith, made the promise fulfilled in his life. Where are you going, Abraham? Where are you going every Sunday morning? Where are you going in the morning before you leave your house? I believe that he was focused more than ever at that point to hear the voice of God in his life. Not knowing our next move, are we focused more than ever to hear the voice of God in our life? Or are we distracted by only what we can see ahead of us? We have an example of Abraham to stay focused more now than ever to hear the voice of God in our life, individually and collectively. Revelation 12:21 says this, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Between now and our arrival to our ultimate resting place, we are seekers here as well. We seek his favor, we seek his face, and we seek his voice. We desire that every day spent in this wilderness we travel will bring us closer to the one who called us in the first place. I have to ask, what are you currently seeking from God at this time, and do you feel any closer to it than when you started? There are some here that have faith that is flourishing, that is moving forward and vibrant. And there also are some here today that have faith that has turned sour and stale because they haven't moved and stepped forward in their faith and their walk with God when they heard his voice, and they heard him repeat it over and over again. There are ones here today that need to encourage the ones that as faith has gone sour because human nature stepped in and because life happened. But that's part of the beauty of the body of Christ, is we can be here to encourage each other. Ones whose faith are thriving, I encourage you to take the person's hand that you know is discouraged this morning and says, you are going to make it. Get back up where you fell off of and put one foot in front of the other, because we're going to do this together. We're going to walk forward together in Jesus' name. The commandment God had for Abraham was attached with some amazing promises. In Genesis 12:2, it says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When we step out in faith, in obedient faith, God secures our promises. I'm reminded by this in Joshua chapter 3 and 13. It says, the priest will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. It was the obedient faith of Joshua and the priest, and the evidence of the faith that they were the only ones with muddy shoes, and the whole rest of the nation of Israel walked on dry ground and only had dust on theirs. Step out in faith. Your foot's going to get wet, but everybody behind you, everybody else is going to be blessed. Everybody else is going to walk on dry ground. Sometimes it takes somebody, one person, to just step out in faith. You know what? I got a little messy. I got a little stain on my shoes, but everybody else is going to be blessed and benefited from it. We need active faith in our church every day. We need to activate it. We need to be sensitive to the voice of God and to his word and say, God, I want to hear what you have me to say and to do and how to respond to it. I need a willingness. It all comes with a willing heart. Lord, I am willing, and I know that you are able. I am not able to do it on my own ability, and I'm not going to even try to figure out my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you every step of the way. Abraham and Sarah also had struggles with their faith, just like any of us. Genesis 17 and verse 16 says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of all people shall be of her." Abraham's response would be like any of ours today. Then Abraham, in verse 17, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old and Sarah? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old? For all the women out there, Sarah was just as human as any of you are." And chapter 18 and 12, it says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being Lord also? Are you kidding me?" No way. I can't even wrap my mind around this. But God isn't calling us to wrap our mind around our own understanding. He's like, release your understanding and let me do something that I've never done before in your life. The just shall live by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. If we are not actively engaging in faith and exercising our faith, spiritually we're dying. God will allow circumstances in our life to keep us alive. He goes, I need that pulse. Some of you guys are flatlining out here. You're comfortable in your life, in your nesting, in your situation. I got to shake things up. He's not doing this to hurt us. He's doing this because you're spiritually dying. He doesn't intend for you to die, for you to go through the motions, to do the same thing week after week, day after day, month after month, year after year. He wants you to live. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to help you. And I am preaching to myself right now. Numbers 23 and 19 says, "God is not man that he should not lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God is a keeper of his promises. When we are obedient in faith, we are guaranteed that God is going to fulfill these promises. I'm not going to die with these promises that are just left for somebody else. Joshua was a recipient of a promise. It was intended for Moses. I don't want somebody else to get what God intended for me to have. I'm not being selfish, but I'm just like, I don't want to miss out on it. I believe God is going to show everyone here the fulfillment of what he has promised. Without question. He is deliberate. He is intentional. Our human nature says, I'm tired. I've been doing this week after week, month after month, year after year, and I haven't seen any results. But God says, from my point of view, you're at the threshold. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This word renewed their trust in God, and Sarah had a son. In Genesis 21, 1 and 2 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah, as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken unto him." Every aspect of God, what God said, he said he would do at the timing of it, he did. He is deliberate, he's intentional, and he's going to do it, and he's going to fulfill it. We have two voices in our life, the author of confusion and the author and the finisher of our faith, and they're both speaking to us. One is in a gentle voice, and one is in an oppressing, beat-down voice. It is up to us. It is our choice to believe. Who are we going to listen to? And that is only by our relationship with God, the author and the finisher of our faith. As when we respond out in faith, we put one foot in front of the other, there is exceeding and precious promises attached to that. I want us to be encouraged. I'm going to close. If we could stand at this time, I did not even get close to where I wanted to finish this. But if we could collectively, we're going to spend a few minutes in prayer before we go into our next session, but can we come all as a church body and just encourage each other, put maybe one arm around another person, because one person, I believe, is full of faith here in this place, and another person is struggling with their faith. But if we could take this moment of time in prayer and allow God to just have his perfect will in our lives, I believe God will respond to that. We all need encouraging. And if one person is encouraged by this, I believe we'll all be blessed as a church body. So we take a few moments this morning, come together, come forward, let's pray for one another.